Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 10th, 2020. Today, looking at 1 Kings chapters 2 and 3. Here in 1 Kings chapters 2 and 3, we're at the end of David's reign, and about 30 years has passed since the previous reading when we had David and Bathsheba. And there's a lot of intervening history, but we're picking it up in 1 Kings chapter 2. The day of David's death was approaching, so he gave the following commands to his son Solomon. I am about to go all the way of all the earth. Now be strong and act like a man. Fulfill your duties to the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commands, his ordinances, and his decrees, as they are written in the law of Moses, so that you may have success in everything you do and everywhere you turn, in order that the Lord may keep this word that he spoke to me. If your sons are careful to walk before me faithfully with their whole heart and soul, then you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Furthermore, you know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to two commanders of the army of Israel, to Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He killed them, spilling blood in peacetime as if it were happening in war. He spattered that blood on the belt around his waist and on the sandals of his feet, as if it were war. Deal with him according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. Keep faith with the sons of Barzillai from Gilead, and let them eat at your table, because they did the same for me when I fled from your brother Absalom. Watch out for Shimei, son of Gera from Bahurim of the tribe of Benjamin, since he is still with you. He cursed me bitterly on the day I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not kill him with the sword. But now do not leave him unpunished, for you are a wise man. You will know what you should do to him. Bring his gray hair down to the grave in blood. David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. David was king over Israel for 40 years. He was king in Hebron for 7 years, and he was king in Jerusalem for 33 years. Solomon was seated on the throne of his father David, and his kingship was firmly established. Adonijah, son of Haggith, came to Solomon's mother Bathsheba. She said to him, Do you come in peace? Yes, in peace, he answered. Then he said, May I have a word with you? She said, Yes. Speak up. He said, You know that the kingship was mine, and all Israel looked to me to be king. But things changed. And the kingship went to my brother instead, because the Lord gave it to him. But now I am asking you for one request. Do not turn me away. She said, Tell me what it is. He said, Ask Solomon, for he will not turn you down, to give me Abishag from Shunem as my wife. Bathsheba said, Very well, I will speak to the king for you. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to her, to him on behalf of Adonijah. The king met her and bowed down to her. Then he sat on his throne and also set up a throne for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. She said, I am asking you for one small request. Do not turn me down. The king answered her, Ask, mother, for I will not turn you down. She said, Please give Abishag from Shunem to your brother Adonijah as his wife. King Solomon answered his mother, Why do you ask for Abishag from Shunem to be given to Adonijah? You might as well ask for the kingship for him. After all, he is my brother, my older brother, yes. Request it for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab son of Zeruiah. Then Solomon swore by the Lord, May God punish me severely and double it, if Adonijah does not pay with his life for this request that he has made. Now as surely as the Lord lives, who has appointed me and seated me on the throne of my father David, and has established my house just as he said he would, Adonijah will die today. Then King Solomon gave an order to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he struck down Adonijah and killed him. To Abiathar the priest, the king said, Go to your estate in Anathoth, because you deserve to die. But I will not kill you today, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you shared in all my father's sufferings. So Solomon drove Abiathar out from serving as priest for the Lord, to fulfill the word of the Lord which had been spoken against the house of Eli in Shiloh. When the news reached Joab, he fled to the tent of the Lord and held on to the horns of the altar, for he had supported Adonijah, although he had not supported Absalom. When King Solomon was told that Joab had fled to the tent of the Lord and that he was there by the side of the altar, Solomon sent word to Joab, saying, "What happened to you that caused you to flee to the altar?" Joab said, "Because I was afraid of you, I fled to the Lord." So Solomon sent word to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, "Go strike him down." Benaiah went to the tent of the Lord and called to Joab, "The king says, come out." Joab answered, "No, I will die here." So Benaiah reported back to the king, "This is what Joab said, and this is how I responded." The king said to him, "Do just as he said, strike him dead and bury him. Remove from me and from my father's house the blood that Joab shed without cause. The Lord has brought the blood he shed back on his own head, because he struck down two men who were more righteous and better than he was. He killed them with the sword, but my father David did not know about it. The blood of Abner, son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah, has come back on Joab's head, and on the head of his descendants forever. But for David and his descendants, and his house and his throne, there will be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and struck him down and killed him. He buried him at his house in the wilderness. Then the king put Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, in Joab's place over the army. He placed Zadok the priest into Abiathar's position. The king summoned Shimei and said to him, "Build a house for yourself in Jerusalem and live there. Do not go out of the city ever. On the day you go out and cross the Kidron Valley, you can be sure that you will die. Your blood will be on your own head." Shimei said to the king, "Your decision is good. Your servant will do just as my lord the king has said." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for some time. At the end of 3 years, two of Shimei's slaves fled to Achish, son of Maakah, the king of Gath. Shimei was told, "Listen, your slaves are in Gath." So Shimei saddled his donkey and went to Achish of Gath to look for his slaves. Then he brought them back from Gath. Solomon was told that Shimei had left Jerusalem and had gone to Gath and returned. The king summoned Shimei and said to him, "Did I not swear to you by the Lord and warn you that you could be sure that on the day you dared to go out of Jerusalem you would die? And didn't you answer me? Your decision is good. I have heard what you have said. Why then did you not keep your oath to the Lord and obey the command I gave you?" The king also said to Shimei, "In your heart you know all the evil that you did to my father David. Now the Lord has brought your evil back on your own head. Now may King Solomon be blessed, and may David's throne be firmly established before the Lord forever." Then the king gave a command to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He went out and struck down Shimei and killed him. In this way the kingship was firmly established in the hands of Solomon. Chapter 3. Solomon had made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He married Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house, the Lord's house, and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were still offering sacrifices at the high place because a house for the name of the Lord had not yet been built in those days. Solomon loved the Lord, so he followed the instructions of his father David, though he still offered sacrifice and burnt incense at the high places. So the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there because it was the most important high place. Solomon offered 1,000 whole burnt offerings on that altar. The Lord appeared to Solomon in Gibeon in a dream that night. God said, "Ask me for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy and faithfulness to your servant, my father David, just as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. You have shown this great mercy and faithfulness to him, and have given him a son who is seated on his throne to this very day. O Lord my God, now you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and I, your servant, am among your people whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted or numbered, because there are so many. Now give to your servant a perceptive heart to judge your people, to distinguish between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" In the eyes of the Lord, Solomon's request was good. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, and you have not asked for a long life, nor have you asked for riches, nor have you asked for the lives of your enemies, but you have asked for discernment to reach just verdicts. Therefore, I will act according to your words. Yes, I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you before you, nor will anyone like you rise up after you. In addition, I will give to you what you have not asked for, such riches and honor that there will not be anyone like you among the other kings throughout all your days. If you walk in my ways by keeping my statutes and commands, just as your father David did, then I will give you a long life." Then Solomon woke up and realized it was a dream. So Solomon went to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered whole burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and he made a feast for all his officials. Later, two prostitutes came and stood before the king. One woman said, "Hear me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. While she was living in the house, I gave birth. 3 days after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. We were together. There was no one else in the house with us. Only the two of us were there. One night, this woman's son died because she lay on top of him. Then she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while I, your servant, was sleeping. She laid him next to her, and her dead son she laid next to me. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him closely in the morning, I saw it was not my son to whom I had given birth." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is really my son, and your son is the dead one." But the first one kept saying, "No, your son is really the dead one, and my son is the living one." They kept arguing like this before the king. The king said, "This woman says, 'My son is the living one, and your son is the dead one.' But this other woman says, 'No, your son is really the dead one, and my son is the living one.' So the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword to the king. Then the king said, 'Cut the living child in two, and give half to this woman and half to that woman.' But the woman to whom the living child belonged spoke up, because her feelings for her son were very strong. She said, 'Listen to me, my lord. Give her the living child. Please don't kill him.' But the other woman said, 'He will be neither mine nor yours. Cut him in two.' The king answered, 'Give the living child to the first woman and do not kill him. She is his mother.' All Israel heard about the judgment which the king had rendered. They were filled with awe in his presence, because they saw that God's wisdom was in him to administer justice." This is the word of our God. These two chapters, as Solomon is sweeping up the mess and the destruction from the end of David's reign, that the peak of David's reign happened shortly before that affair with Bathsheba. And that affair with Bathsheba and the subsequent killing of Uriah and then taking Bathsheba as his own wife, that was the decline, the downfall of David, and things never got better for him. His son rebelled, his son Absalom rebelled against him, and the judgment that God had spoken through the prophet Nathan came true in David's lifetime. David never really had a day of quiet and peace. Thankfully, God used Nathan to bring David to repentance, and we hear of David's faith, that God had brought him to this realization of his sin and pointed to back to the Lord as his Savior. But now Solomon has to carry out the revenge and to make sure that the throne is firmly established in his own hands, because there are all sorts of people who would take the throne and take power. And if God's nation dissolves, if God's nation devolves into civil war, then the birth of the Messiah is at risk. If God's people are wiped out, and especially if the house of David is wiped out, then Jesus can't be born. And so Solomon he prays and he speaks to the Lord and he offers offerings and he says, "Lord, you are my strength." But then he also uses the human reason, the human wisdom that God has given to him, and acts justly to carry out justice against those who had wronged his father David. And Solomon acts to establish his throne, because that's how it works. That when believers hear God's promises, they use that promise as every reason to act according to what God has said. And they use those promises as encouragement to carry out the tasks before them. It's the same thing today, that you as a believer, you know what God has promised you forever in heaven. You know the life that God has given to you now through his son, Jesus. You know all these things. And yet God has given you your measure of human reason to manage those things well and to manage those things wisely and say, how can I serve God in these different vocations of life, whether as a husband or a wife or a parent or a child, grandparent, grandchild, employer, employee, all those things, how can I serve God in this vocation with these resources of time and talent and ability and money that God has given to me? And that's the same thing. We've got this promise from God that he longs to build a church in the hearts of his people to extend his ruling activity to more and more. And then he says, dear friend, use your reason and put it to good use that you may use all these resources wisely in service of the kingdom, knowing that what you do, your Lord will bless. Thanks so much for tuning in today. God bless your day.